I just had a thought. It would be a fun troll. I need to ask Sir Longshanks to like randomly change out the intro music of the show. Like, it would be funny if like we come into the Parish of the Patriots, but they play Royal Britannia. It's like, wait, is this Parish of the Patriots or is it Real Britannia? I don't know. Wait, this is the intro music for Patriotic History. Wait, this is Dr. Johnson's intro music. Why are they playing? Just be a fun troll. Yes, I'm not above trolling you, the congregation. Thank you for joining us this week. We are back for the 127th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. It's great to be here with you. Week in, week out, if you're new around here, we do have a Christian-specific segment. Sermon, if you would. Better stick for it, whether you're a believer or not. You're going to regret it if you don't stick around for the Christian-specific message later on in the show. The show is financed, as it were, financially supported by you, the listeners. We don't have ads. We don't have paywalls. It's all here for free. But, you know, I do appreciate you voluntarily paying your tithes, as it were. I'm not even asking for 10% of your income. Don't let the tithe term fool you. Just anything. Imagine if everybody listened to the show, sent $5 a month. Yes, it would be great. But anyway, if you want to be a part of if you want to be a part of that, information's at the bottom of the description page. We have snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got a Monero. Got an email address down there for you to drop notes to. You got a weirdo cryptocurrency address. You know, like, I don't know. There's 6 kajillion. There's exactly 6 million cryptocurrencies. Drop me an email. I'll try to get you an address for that. Let's get on into the listener supporter mailbag. As always, we're going to try to cover a lot of ground today. Don't know. So no time to waste. Why do you talk so fast? Because we have so much to cover and I try to cram it into an hour. For those of you who notice, I actually have started getting the shows round about an hour in length. We were so long. We spent years consistently running like an hour and a half, an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 15 minutes. I've really tried to tighten up the discipline and get the show to last an hour like it should. Let's get into this. Mr. T, GPT, I've often wondered, if you won the lottery, would you open an actual church? God bless and keep you. Yeah, I don't know. We always have, everybody has that, what if I won the lottery? In this sad state of our nation, that's your hope. What if I won the lottery? What would I do? I don't know what I would do. Of course, I would require playing the lottery to begin with. It happens like maybe twice a year at the most. I never even get one stupid number and then I get disgusted and don't do it again for another 8 months or so. Don't get much out of me. Andy, I've been listening to a couple of audiobooks all month, so I still need to catch up with your shows, but I trust the content is absolute fire as always. Yes, it is. You need to catch up. You're missing out. You're behind the curve, Andy. You got to catch up. Got to catch up on the shows. One of the books I finished was Arabs, a 3,000-year history, a not-so-rich history filled with people laying around in the desert, scraping crap into rocks while they watch their camels graze and raid each other and steal each other's camels. 26 hours of my life that I'll never get back. Hope you're doing well. And that's from Andy. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, they would hire me to do the readings of these audiobooks? Because, like, I could read the exact words written, but, yeah, I could instill this emotional level and, like, give this, like, opposite meaning. And then the next great accomplishment, the raid, where 28 camels were taken. Yeah, it would just be like the sarcasm dripping from my voice. Let's keep it going. Dear Grandpa, hope is all is well in the Lone Star State. Keep up the great work. God bless Nick. And yes, it's hot in the Lone Star State. Hot. Hot. I was outside and I didn't bring my big hat. I forgot my big hat. I went out of town and I was outside doing this stuff. And I forgot my big giant. I've got one of those giant, like, rice paddy hats like they wear in China or Vietnam. That gets looks. I'm going to tell you, that shit gets looks. You walk around China hat on, but I wear it because Well, because I'm just kind of a squirrel that way, I guess. But I also wear it for an actual reason, because it casts a huge shade over your head, and I got to try to keep the sun. I forgot my big ass hat. And so my head is cooked because it's hot. It's like we must be so much closer to the sun here in this one area. GPT, what do you... How are things on the sun? Hot as hell here on the sun. GPD, what do you know about the Frankfurt School? From what I found, this CRT, which would be critical race theory, is traced to it. God bless Triangle Whip. Well, I haven't read anything directly tracing back critical race theory to the Frankfurt School. I'm sure it is. I mean, I just kind of assumed that. I never actually looked at the material because I understand the trend where these things come from and where, you know, they happen. Of course, Frankfurt School should know about that. But it's one of those things, you bring up Frankfurt School. It's one of those things that's so illustrated, because you look here and you have this group of Jews who were being persecuted for absolutely no reason at all. No, they were being run out of Germany because they were basically corrupting and destroying the society via the university. And so they wind up here in the U.S. They bring them here and let them set up shop. It's like our ancestors. You get into this thing. I think one of the traps people fall into, like, when you really, you know, come to understand, like, the, you know, how, like, you see this pattern of Jews over and over doing certain things, following these patterns. And when people first finally come to realize that, and it's like, oh, and they see this light, but they get so hung up on that, and it's just like, Jews, you know, and that's all well and good, but you got to kind of get over that and start looking at the bigger picture here. And what do I mean by that? The Frankfurt School is a perfect example of that. What the hell were our ancestors thinking? I mean, like, the Frankfurt School didn't, like, force their way in to the U.S. Our ancestors that were running the country said, yes, let's bring them in. It's like, oh, well, what's going on here? Well, Hitler's giving these poor communist Jews a really hard time, saying they're destroying society. Well, he's full of bull. Let's bring them here. And what did they do? Oh, I mean, people look at the 1960s, like people talk about the 60s, you know, the 60s. And oh my gosh, you had this huge cultural revolution in the boomers and the 60s. It was the destruction of society. That was when it all started. That was when it all started. The 1960s cultural revolution. It had to have come from somewhere. Well, let's see. Most of that crap started on college campuses. And who was brought in to the college campuses and started recruiting other people to have all these positions in the college campuses? It's the Frankfurt School. What the hell was the generation of people running this country thinking? We know, like, Roosevelt's administration was full of communists. They're communist sympathizers. Like, you know, when you understand that, like, there were Jews that served in Hitler's military, they're always like, he was just picking on the Jews. Well, mostly, yes, he understood, like, this pattern. He was like, well, these people are a problem. But I think he was primarily trying to deal with the communists. It just so happened there was a whole lot of overlap. It's a lot of overlapping going on there. You got to cast a broad net. It's like if people today rose up and said, we're going to throw out the oligarchy. That wide net would just so happen to have a very large portion of a common denominator to it. But now I'm at that point now that I really, the Frankfurt School, like I say, didn't muscle their way in. Our ancestors brought them here and said, hey, come on in, set up shop. Do the very thing that this crazy guy with the funny mustache is saying you're doing here. We'll prove him wrong. I don't know. I you look at this bigger picture, and I really, what the hell? What were those people thinking? That's just, yeah, sure, hell, we'll prove them wrong. We'll bring them here and let them set up shop. A few short years later, we've got the 60s and the Cultural Revolution and all of this crap. It's like, okay. Of course, the people that brought them in, they're all dead by then. I guess they don't care. It's also tiring. No, I'm sure. In fact, there was actually a point there from the listener that I just kind of went off from. I'm sure it is. Like I say, I haven't sat here and, like, worked out, like, a graph tracing it back. But I mean, all of this stuff, you can say, well, this is a result of this, is a result. It's like we just talked about here. Like the 1960s didn't just pop up out of the blue. I mean, it just didn't happen like randomly for no reason. Well, let's see. It started on college campuses. Okay. Well, who was running college campuses had a great huge foothold in the agenda of college campuses. Because before, like, say you went back to 1910, you know, universities were just about education. They were like, oh my gosh, these staunch, like stodgy places about education. Well, how did they get from there to the 1960s and the university agenda? So, of course, all this is still being promoted through the university system, through these colleges. That's where the power center is. Okay, so what changed between here when it was just stodgy and boring and about education and the 1960s and then ultimately here in Clown World current year? There had to have been a pivoting point. Seriously, what are our ancestors? What the hell were they thinking? It's like you see these stories about people that like have, I don't know, a pet tiger, pit bull, I don't know. You get the people and it's like, look at here. I got all of these pet tigers in my house. I brought them into my house. And then like a week later, man shocked. Pet tigers eat his child. You can't really get mad at the tigers. Who was, what is this asshole thinking? He brought these pet tigers in. They ate his kid. What the hell were they thinking? Anyway, that sums it up for the listener supporter mailbag. Always enjoyable. One of my favorite parts of the show, just because it feeds into my laziness, because I don't have to come up with these things to talk about. The listeners do it for me. Makes it easy. I was thinking about, it's as we just keep on rolling with the rest of the show. I was thinking about this, as always, I think a lot about where they go with the anti-white race hate agenda and the different ways that it manifests itself in white people and their behavior. You know, you've heard it claimed that race doesn't exist. It's a social construct, but that's a lie. I mean, it's a lie, yes. We understand that it's a lie. The way they're presenting it is actually a lie on its face. What do I mean by that? Because they don't really mean race doesn't exist. What they actually are saying is the white race doesn't exist. Because you don't see them say, rebuking blacks for acting black. That's their culture. It's like, well, where does their culture come from? Well, it's from the race. So when they say race doesn't exist, they actually mean the white race doesn't exist. Only the white race gets chastised for their culture. Their culture is the only one that's always condemned. Always. I was thinking about how this manifests itself in behaviors of white people. Well, for instance, say you have a guy that's a total weeb, you know? I mean, just like, don't get me wrong. I mean, the only entertainment I watch is from Asia, you know, Japanese subtitled anime. And you got to watch this stuff in the actual language. Dub doesn't count. Japanese subtitled anime or Korean dramas. That's it. For entertainment, that's all I watch. It's not like that's all I do all day, obviously. But that's it. But then you get people that are like totally ate up. They're like total weebs, you know? Total weebs. And like if you had if they went to Japan, they would like wear a traditional dress and walk around in wooden shoes. And the Japanese are walking around like dressed normally. And they're looking at this white weeb wondering what the hell is wrong with this guy. Then you can also look at side by side along with what do they call them? Like the wiggers, you know, you got the white guy, you know, that the blacks all hate. And I don't blame them for hating this guy because he's like got his hat on sideways and he's got the baggy pants and he's like, yo, dog, what's up, man? You know, and black people just cringe. They hate that. They do. They say, oh, well, black people, you know. No, the worst thing black people hate is a white person that tries to like copy them. It's not to fall into the train of, you know, you're appropriating their culture, but it's kind of insulting. Yo, dog, what up, bro? And then a guy winds up getting his ass kicked because they're like, what is wrong with this asshole? What do these two things have? Why do white people do this shit? Well, because I mean, you're predominantly going to see this in younger people because they're told, white people are told their whole life, they have no culture. They have no culture. Because it's only the white culture that is attacked. They're not running around pointing out the historical misdeeds of the black population or the Arab population or whatever the hell population. It's always just the white. So you have these people and they live their whole life being told they have no history. That's good. They have no culture. They have nothing to cling to, nothing to anchor themselves, nothing to be proud of. Instead, we see constantly elevated, for instance, the black culture. This is what's hip. This is what's cool. This is why all your women want to have sex with them. And so they start mimicking this. They start mimicking this behavior because they want to have some sort of culture. You see, this is what it has in common between the white guy that tries to act black or the white guy that tries to act Asian or whatever the hell. The common denominator is they're trying to find something. They look at these other, well, they got a culture. You know, they all act the same. They kind of all fall within the boundaries of this culture. Yeah, I want to be a part of that too. I want to have a culture. So you live in a society that tells people that white people don't have a culture. You don't have a history except bad stuff. You don't have anything to be proud of. You don't have anything that defines you as white people. And of course, that varies from area to area. I mean, here in Texas, we still have much of a kind of, you know, especially the more rural you are, cities are shit everywhere. Everybody's like, what's it like in Texas? Well, depends on what you mean by that. I mean, if you were in the cities, they're shitty, just like cities anywhere. All cities are the same. Whether you teleported yourself to Denver or Dallas, it's the same shit. They suck. Too much traffic, too damn many people, and they're all assholes. But but the more rural, yeah, I mean, there is a underpinning Texas culture here. It doesn't mean everybody walks around in boots and spurs and cowboy hats. That's just silly. But there is an underpinning. There is a cultural norm here that kind of people have. So people are going to be more grounded. But if you get into other parts of the world, they don't. I mean, what the hell kind of culture does California have? Picking on California again. What kind of culture? Overriding like white people culture is there in California? I guess being on the beach and a surfer dude or something. I don't know. That doesn't seem like much of a thing to me, but who am I to judge? The point here is, though, that white people have been told their whole lives now. Of course, the younger you are, the more that's true. I mean, I'm old enough that, you know, early part of my life, we weren't told that, but it's been this way now for years. They've been told their whole lives, they're told constantly on the media that they have no culture. And people got to have something. You know, whether you agree with other people's cultures, because unlike the narrative they say about me, I don't hate other races, I don't hate other people. In fact, I'm just infatuated almost. I really am. I'm just so interested in other people's cultures. I find black people's culture interesting. I mean, it's not my culture. I don't walk around and go, yo, bro, what's up, homie? And look like an idiot. But I do find it interesting because it has this common set. This is their culture. I also find it interesting how, like, you bring it down. Because, like, you look at, like, black people in America and their culture is like, yo, bro, what up, dog? You know. But then you go look at black people in Britain and they're like, oh, sorry, my man. You know, it's like, whoa. British brothers don't even be speaking the Ebonics. But I find it interesting. I find the different Asian cultures very interesting. Japanese, Chinese, Korean. I understand some of their history. I'm not well studied in, but I understand a little bit. So I find it interesting. Why these peoples, they have this whole different mindset. It's so interesting, so diverse. Y'all just hate diversity. I love diversity. I think it's part of what makes this whole world so kind of cool, the way it's set up. You don't have diversity when you force all these people to like live together and mix together and hate each other and tell them that, you know, their women need to be having sex with their men and vice versa. And you start muddying up the races. That is the opposite of diversity. Diversity is interesting. I do. All the different races and they follow these patterns and they work within these certain guidelines and their cultures have these things that make them have this in common. And we have that too. the bullshit comes in and that we're told we're the only ones that don't. In fact, the only thing you have done that you could count as a culture is oppress people and be just general assholes to the whole world, destroy the planet. And you're the reason that the Earth is going to heat up and we're all going to burn to death in the global warming or ice age or whatever. We just call it climate change. You're changing the climate and killing everybody and slavery and the Holocaust. But that's bullshit. I have a culture. We have a history and we deserve that. We have the right to that. It's real. It's the truth. Doesn't mean you have to hate other. I find it interesting. I find these other races and cultures interesting. Why do they do the things they do? How do they live like that? I always say you look at, I looked at a deal one time. This is one of the examples I use of this. I find it interesting because I do. I find it so fascinating. I really believe like as white people, we're hardwired for things. That's why we did so much like expanding, settling the new world and discovering new territories and new lands, setting off. You read about the old adventures, you know, get on a ship and just sail. See if you can find something new. That's the sort of shit white people are geared for. Because ultimately you wind up with you, maybe a handful of dudes out in the middle of nowhere trying to survive. Why? To discover new things. Has nobody else been here and done this? That's just what we're wired for. It's why we have such a hard time now in modern society because we can't do that anymore. We're wired to that sort of thing. If you're going to take somebody, like one guy, an individual guy, and kick him out in the middle of nowhere and say, good luck, you got to survive. The white guy is going to thrive. You take these soy-looking weirdo, now effeminate guys, and they're probably just going to lay over and die. But I'm just talking traditionally, the white man is going to figure out a way to do that. You know, we're just wired that way. It's what makes us different. Now, I looked at a deal one time, and it showed like the population density of Tokyo. Because, yeah, I find these things fascinating. The population, if you took the population of Tokyo, you could fill up Great Britain. You got all of these people concentrated. And you can look at like Google Street View in Japan. Yes, you could do that. The streets are narrow and people are living stacked one on the other. A white man would done run amok with a meat cleaver doing weirdo cannibalism shit. Why? Because our brain would break because we're not wired to live that way. We would go insane. If you took me and said, here, we're sending you to Japan. You have to live the rest of your life in Japan. I would not live in Tokyo. I couldn't. I would go nuts. You'd find me in like some remote fishing village. You'd be the weird white guy that lives up on the hill. And they live up in the clefts of the rocks somewhere. Yeah, it's the way we're wired. But they can do that. They can live in this close proximity, in this extremely dense population. They're just, because they're wired different than we are. Doesn't mean better, doesn't mean worse, it's just different. They can live like, I find that shit interesting. But I also find ours interesting. These other people's, for all of their, and they have abilities in different areas. If you had to set up a group, you say you're going to take 50 people. You're fixing to be racist. I'm sure I am, because we're going to talk about real things here. If you said, okay, we got to form a group of 50, 100 people, and you have to work on this, and you have to come to a solution as a group. You have to go. Hate group activities. I do. I hate them. As our group, you got to work together and solve this problem. I mean, you're probably going to have better luck with the Asian people. They're going to fall in and wind up working as a group and setting this and achieving this goal because they're going to work better. White people, you're gonna have the guy that says, "No, I'm right. No, I'm right." And then you're gonna, and then we got to bring women in here. And now we've got women in here. And now we're trying to solve the problem, but we're also trying to like hit up on this girl. And how dare you hurt her feelings? And we wind up with all this weirdo, individualistic conflict and egos. And everybody's like, "I'm the alpha male. No, I'm the alpha male. We're gonna do what I say." No, it winds up being this total ass mess. Some people better suited for some things. It's just the reality. Say it's not any better or worse. It's just different. It's what makes it. I find it interesting. And it's funny because these anti-racists apparently do not find it interesting. They don't. The anti-white race haters, they all they can think about is how they hate white people. They're apparently not really interested in what these other races are doing or how they live. They just hate white people. And so many of them are white people, which is weird. It's like this weird psychological break. Maybe it comes down to daddy issues. You know, I hate my daddy, so I hate the whole white race. Maybe that's what it is.
Daddy didn't love me enough. Daddy didn't love me enough, so I hate all white people. I'll show him. I'll destroy his whole culture and have sex with a black man.
That's a typical basic white bitch mentality. I don't know. I don't know. They don't have time to be interested in how other people's live or even understand them. Understand them. Social justice warriors. They're out there, all of these white people, crusading for the blacks. Blacks can't do it themselves, but they're totally not racist. They don't have any interest. It's all about themselves. They don't have any interest in actually understanding these people or how they live or what their culture is like and why they do the things they do. They don't want to know. Maybe one of the reasons these type of people can't appreciate the culture and the way that these other peoples live is because to do that would be to acknowledge that, well, it's absurd. It's an absurdity to say, well, all of these other races wind up having a common culture and it's obviously based on race. I mean, it is. Where the hell else would it come from? You have the common denominators. This isn't real hard. I want to be a mathematical genius. Obviously, the different cultures come from the different races of peoples. I don't know why this is so offensive. Maybe one of the reasons they don't have any interest in these other peoples and how they live and actually understanding what they claim to promote, which is diversity. Maybe the reason is because to do that would be to acknowledge that white people have that too. To be interested in black culture, I mean, really to take an interest in it, like observing it, not thinking that you can inject yourself into it and be a part of it because you can't. Nor can you insert yourself into Japanese culture and become Japanese. This great melting pot idea that white people have been led to believe here in the U.S. The whole nation is an idea. So if the nation is an idea and if somebody can come here from Guatemala and get the special piece of paper, then they're just as American as I am. Then why can't I go to Japan and wear yukata and walk around in wooden shoes and not be Japanese? They don't understand. Their country's not an idea. No, they understand their country is their country because it's full of Japanese people. That's what makes it cool. It's what makes it interesting. I'd love to go to Japan. It's like I would love to go to Japan. I would probably like to stay there for a long time in some remote fishing village up in the mountains. But I wouldn't want everybody else coming there because that would screw the whole thing up. What makes it unique is it's full of Japanese people and have this weird culture that's kind of cool, kind of strange to me, utterly foreign, but interesting. But if you brought a bunch of white people in, it would screw the whole thing up. I'd rather just not go and leave it be. But these people, circle things back. These people have no interest in diversity. They have no interest in understanding other people's culture, I think, because on a certain level, they understand that in doing so, you have to acknowledge that white people have that too. If all these cultures come from race, and again, common sense tells you they do, then you can't say white people have no culture. It runs into the face of reality. If you look at all these other races wind up forming these different cultures and subset of cultures and things such as that, then it stands to reason that the same thing applies to white people. And that flies in the face of their daddy issues or whatever the hell motivates them to just go all in on this anti-white self-hatred agenda. All these white people that promote this agenda. I can't take it. So they're not interested. They don't want to understand these other people's culture and understand that they can look at it and appreciate it and think what they want about it without trying to adopt it as their own or some shit. You have a culture. We have a culture. And there are different subcultures within our culture, just as there are different subcultures in these other races. Again, like I pointed out, like black people in America be like, you know, what up, dog? And so many black, but like you see black people in Britain and they're like, I'll say, mate. You know, it's like, you know, but the behavior patterns tend to be the same. It's just a way of speaking. It's a different subset. I'm getting way off on this. Because I do. I find these things interesting. I'm really genuinely interested in these things. But these anti-white race hate agitators, they're just about hate. It's about hating white people, destroying white people, destroying white culture, saying white people don't have a culture. They themselves don't want to believe they have a culture. And if white people don't have a culture, then really these other people don't have a culture. They're just living their existence. I mean, how arrogant is this? These activists. They essentially say that black people have no culture or existence except for that of being oppressed by white people. That's it. You don't have anything. All your whole existence consists of is being oppressed by white people. Well, that's absurd. That is not the entirety of black people's culture or existence. It's insulting, in fact. But they don't think of it that way because all they can think about is anti-white race hatred. And again, I'm talking about actual white people that promote this, of which there is no shortage, if we're being honest here. Anyway, whether you're talking about white people trying to act like blacks or trying to act like they're Japanese or whether you're talking about these anti-white race haters, this all stems from this notion that white people have no culture. Because if you have no history, you have no culture. And any history you have, you're supposed to be ashamed of. And you have to reject. People have got to reject that lie. It's still ultimate. Yes, it's pushed in universities, pushed in the media, it's pushed in the culture. But you have the choice. You have the choice to say, that's bullshit. I'm not going to agree to that. Our history doesn't have to be perfect, but it does exist. Nobody's history, by the way, is perfect. You have a history. You have the choice to reject it. They can tell you whatever all day long, but if it's bullshit, it's bullshit. And you know observably, it's bullshit. The truth of the matter is, if you can truly appreciate and understand and absorb and be a part of your own culture, you're going to have a better ability to be able to appreciate and understand the culture of others. That's our message of tolerance. For this week at the Parish of the Patriots. And looking at the time, we got to get in here and get started in the Christian specific segment. You're not going to want to miss it. So yeah, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get started on this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. You know, I imagine a lot of y'all probably sit around and wonder, how does he do it? How does he come up with what we're going to talk about in the Christian specific segment in the sermon every week, week in, week out? Parish of the Patriots. And the truth of the matter is, just throughout the week, you know, and hopefully you do as well, you know, you set aside some time for prayer and to reflect on things and to just try to understand these things from a spiritual perspective. And I do these things. And usually there'll be one thing that kind of stands out that I've been reflecting on. And I just tend to extend that thought process, that reflection, and trying to work these things out. I extend it into this, and this is what we do here in this segment of the show. And this week is no exception. I was reflecting on this earlier. I had a little chance. I took a long drive to go out of town. It was just a day drive. And during that time, I was thinking about this and reflecting on it, and it really hung with me. And since it hung with me, I thought we would continue the discussion here, because I do think it's going to be very relevant. I do believe it's going to be relevant in the very near future as things continue to spiral downward. So I think this is important for everybody to start kind of, you know, as Christian believers, start working this out through your mind. So let's go ahead and start right off and try to understand some of this, lay some groundwork, as it were, and the way I'm viewing these things. So let's go ahead and start with that. And we'll start, let's just go ahead and start with our Bible reading for today. And we're going to do three separate verses, and they're all going to be from the book of Revelation. We're going to start with Revelation 13, verses 16 through 17. And y'all are going to know exactly where I'm going with this just by this first reading. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I want you to remember that, in the right hand, in the foreheads, because we're gonna circle back to that here in a minute. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, when you look at this, and I'm not going to get too far into this because I want to hit these other two readings real quick, but I want you to also remember, because we've always thought, and you know, as we've heard this verse and this taught over the years, probably since more or less we were kids, you know, you have to have the mark of the beast. You won't be able to do these things without the mark of the beast. But it says here, you might not buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there's ors here. There's three things. You have to meet these criteria. You got to be in the club to be able to do anything. You just got to be one of these three things. Now, let's go ahead and jump over to our next one. Let's do Revelation 16, verses 1 through 2. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And for our final reading, we're going to actually back up to Revelation 9, verses 3 through 5. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, earlier we talked about the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your right hand. Now, when we back up here and they're talking about this plague of locusts, it says, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, I the reason I included this is because when we read earlier, we talk about the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your right hand. But when you read this, it talks about the torment for those who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, I think we can take from this, we can extrapolate from this when they talk about in your forehead. I mean, in your forehead, in your right hand. So I think we could safely extrapolate in your mind, you know, in your spirit. They're not talking about like, because like I said, we've heard this stuff taught since we were kids, if you were raised in the church. And we always were like present. They made like films and stuff, you know, and like people are receiving like a brand, you know, and you get like a brand on you. People walking around with like a tattoo, maybe like the 666 brand, had to be the 666, because those who said you have to read every bit of this literally, otherwise it doesn't count, said you had to be walking around with a literal brand on your head. But that's not what it says here. It says in your forehead. Well, okay, so if you're going to read it literally, that the mark of the beast is like a 666 brand on your forehead, which would really put a damper and destroy the fashion industry, although maybe not. I mean, we are in clown world. But then if the locust presented in this prophecy is going to torment those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. So as Christian believers, do we get like a seal of God, like a brand on our foreheads? Well, no, of course not. That's silly. I think it's safe to say in your forehead would be in your spirit, in your mind, that which you seek. Also in your right hand would be by what you do. Your right hand in the Bible is always pertaining to the right hand of God, the strength of God, what you do, what is God doing? And it counts for you too, the mark in your right hand. So what are you promoting? What are you doing? What's in your mind? Are you chasing after the things of this world? Are you chasing after the lies? Have you just soaked up the lies and absorbed the lies? It's not hard to figure out where we're going with this as far as being relevant to us here in current clown world. I was reflecting on this in the context of obviously this vaccine push they're doing. And bear with me on this, because I realize I kind of sound like a broken record on this. I get that. But bear with me on this, because I think it's important. Because I do think, you know, that as this goes on, while we have a little bit of time here, because they're already getting more coercive about it, we really need to be, as Christian believers, reflecting on how we're going to deal with this, because they're going to get more and more coercive. And just as it says here, you're not going to be able to buy, sell, trade. They're going to make it to where it's almost impossible to do anything without this mark, without the vaccine. Now, understand, I'm never, and I say this, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again here. I'm not saying the vaccine is literally what was seen in the vision when this was written. So it may not even be the mark of the beast. When I call it the mark of the beast, I think I'm going to rephrase it. It was a mark of the beast. And because I don't know if it's specifically what is being relayed in the vision here, but it does rhyme. It matches up. As I said before, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and floats around on the water and shits like a duck, it's probably a duck. And I was thinking about how to describe this. Say you've never seen a car before. You've never seen an automobile. We just kind of just warped in. You were living in the past. You warped in. You never see an automobile. We're living out in the woods. And I wander out and I look, and there's an old Pontiac GTO. And I'm amazed. I see this thing, and I come back to you and I say, wow, I saw this amazing thing. And you would say, well, what did you see? And I said, I don't know what to call it. I said, there were four wheels on it. It made a rumbling sound. And when it took off in a cloud of smoke. And then later on, you went and wandered off and you saw an old Camaro there. And you looked, and you're like, what am I looking at? What is this thing? And you looked, and it had four wheels. It made a rumbling sound. And when it took off in a cloud of smoke. And you would say, oh, well, it's the same thing that I saw. This is the same thing that was described to me earlier, but it wasn't in the sense that I saw a Pontiac GTO, you saw a Camaro, but we both saw an automobile. You see, it's not the exact same thing, but it is the same thing in the general sense. I think that's going to be the best way to understand and accept this as a mark of the beast sort of situation. That's why I'm seeing it this way more and more. They're doing the exact same things that are being laid out here. Oh, what are they saying? You're not going to be. And we know we're getting the passports. They're already trial running those in smaller countries in Europe. We know we're going to get them here. They're going to be rolled out in a different manner, but they're going to be done here. We've talked about this before. We don't need to rehash it. They're going to essentially shut down all the smaller businesses. The corporations will then, require these QR codes, these passports, whatever form they may take for you to do any business. It's going to be very difficult. So it's important now to start thinking about how dedicated, how much you're willing to stand. Because it's easy to sit there and say, oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to do it. But when push comes to shove, I mean, really, it's going to get really hard. And if you're going to wind up going through a bunch of bullshit and then just finally, okay, I can't take it anymore, I'll go ahead and get their stupid vaccine so I can get my passport, then you could have skipped all that and just got it early and kept on trucking. You know, you could have saved yourself the trouble. Could have saved yourself all of the hassle and do it earlier. I think it's time to really start thinking about, if you really think this is, and you may be sitting there going, yeah, well, I mean, I see what you're saying, but yeah, I'm not sure. And that's fine. No, I'm not saying you need to understand this is a mark of the beast and you're going to hell if you don't. No, it's not what I'm saying. What you need to be doing, though, is really thinking about it. Now we have a little bit of time. I don't know how much time we've got. The clock is running down. But it's time to really start reflecting on this and deciding for yourself. I can't decide for you. You need to decide for yourself in your own heart, and you really need to set in your own heart, pray on it, and decide if this is something that you are going to, for sure, if this is a red line, a marker for you, that you're not going to, because otherwise it's like when Jesus warned about those who, you know, take off and say they're going to follow him, but they really aren't ready to do that, being like a builder who really hasn't worked out if he can afford to build the building and winds up with it half built and then it's abandoned and everybody goes, well, look at this idiot. You know, he didn't plan. He didn't budget. He didn't know if he even had enough money. And he just started building. that's kind of how it would be if you say, yes, I'm not going to do it. But then when push comes to shove, you do it and you just look silly. You got to start working that out now. And I think it's important to start reflecting on that. Now, some will come and maybe you yourself have wondered this. And also I've been reflecting on this. I will be asked, or you'll be asking yourself, you'll be sitting there wondering right now and say, yes, but what if? What if they come in and they just, though they get down to those who refuse to take it, and they come in and they kick in your door and they hold you down and force you to take the vaccine? What about that? What about that then? And I would say that's not going to happen. And let me explain why I do not believe that is going to happen. You have to understand, if you really believe in this stuff, you have to understand motivation, or I should say drive. What is driving this? And the boundaries and the rules that all of this has to take place in. Let me explain this to you. And I think I can, I'm maybe overly confident that I can make this make sense for you. Why I don't believe they will come kick your door in and force you to take the shot. There may be people in the higher echelons of this thing that might pop up with that idea, but it'll never come to pass. And again, let me explain why this is being driven. If you're a Christian believer and you're reflecting on this as we are today, you have to be sitting here thinking this is satanic. This is being driven by Satan. And I do believe that is. I don't think you can look at anything in clown world and not think it's satanic as a Christian believer. I don't think you can. I don't think that's possible as a real Christian believer. You know, you've got the MCC and all these weird churches now running around promoting the satanic agenda. But that really doesn't change the reality. You look at this continual promotion of every sort of blasphemy, degeneracy, all of this blatantly counter to Christ narrative, and you have to understand that it's satanic. So if the drive of this is satanic, those people that are doing it are children of the devil. They're doing the work. In other words, they're doing the work of their father, the devil, which means they're being spiritually driven. I'm not saying they actually understand that. And I think that's a misconception. People get this vision that these people are having secret ceremonies and like, oh, worshiping Satan. And some of them, maybe, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Most of them probably don't even realize. They probably just think they don't believe in anything. They're probably atheists. But it doesn't matter because they are doing it. Doesn't change the fact if you believe that you didn't have a father at all, an earthly father, and said, nope, I have no human father, never have, never will. Well, it wouldn't change the fact that you actually had. How the hell did you get here, right? You had to have a father to contribute his DNA for you to be born. It wouldn't matter what you believed. These people probably, by and large, don't even believe in any kind of religious stuff. But it doesn't change the fact that they're doing the work of their father, the devil. Now, you have to understand, this is spiritually driven, whether they understand that or not. They're doing the work of their father, the devil. Now you have to think about, how does the devil operate? What patterns does he follow? What are the rules in which he operates? Because there are rules inside of which he operates. You have to understand that. But I always hate the term, the devil made me do it, you know? And you have people that will get that attitude, the devil made me do it. But the devil never makes you do shit. He can make your life miserable trying to coerce you into doing it. He can dress it up, whatever it is, and flowery terms. He can hand you all sorts of justifications. He can tell you about all kinds of justifications of why you should do this sin, whatever it may be, and tell you, oh, it'll be okay. Oh, you should do this. But ultimately, the choice always has to be yours. The devil is referred to at times as the accuser. And if you think of him as the accuser, if he literally forces you to do it, he can't accuse you because you had no say in it. It always has to come to a choice. Satan didn't hold Eve down in the garden and shove the fruit in that bitch's mouth and say, eat this, bitch. And she's like, no, no, God said I can't. He's like, eat it, choke on it, bitch. No. No, she had to make the choice. Likewise, he didn't grab Adam and hold him down and say, look, your bitch ate the fruit. No, you eat the fruit. No, no, I can't eat it. Oh, hey. A choice has to be presented. This is the rules. This is the framework. People think that Satan just runs around, does whatever the hell he wants, but he still has to operate within a certain box to achieve what it is he wants to achieve. There are boundaries on what he does because he wants to accomplish a certain thing. He wants to destroy you physically is kind of irrelevant. It's about destroying you spiritually. We're getting to the heart of the matter, destroying you spiritually. What kind of side effects would a mark of the beast have on you? Well, we hear about horrible sores and terrible things, but destroying you physically is irrelevant in a sense. It's about destroying you spiritually. Absorb the lie. Worship the lie. You know in your heart of hearts, this thing, something is really, really wrong and satanic about it. But go ahead and submit. Bow down. Do it. It'll make your life easier. Has to be a choice. Even if somebody, if you imagine a dark room of the regime of the oligarchy sitting around, say, okay, what's our next step here? And one of them pipes up and says, let's just quit messing with these people that refuse to get it. Let's hold them down. Let's send in a hit squad to hold them down. And we will jab that needle in their arm and make them take it. No, we can't do that. Why? Well, because whatever fill in the blank reason, because they wouldn't even realize. They have to follow the pattern. People get spiritually driven. Whether you're a believer or not, doesn't matter. It's kind of like as you grow up and the older you get, we have a wide age range of audience here. And if you're younger and if you will come to understand this and you'll come to realize it. And as you're older, you'll wind up sitting here nodding your head because it's inevitable that as you age, you will see yourself taking up some of the ticks. So as to say, I mean, you're your own person, don't get me wrong, but you'll find yourself mimicking some of the same ticks, some of the characteristics, some of the traits of your parents, of your father. I mean, you will. It is going to happen. You can't help it because it's in your DNA. That's what makes you their children. You will wind up doing things. You will wind up with some of their mannerisms, whether you want to or not. You will because it's in your blood. It's in your DNA. It's just how it works. Doesn't matter if the children of the devil realize that they're the children of the devil doing the works of their father. They just can't help it. It's spiritually driven. Everybody winds up doing things that are spiritually driven, whether it's for the good or for the bad. I mean, I do this show because I'm spiritual. I'm driven on a spiritual level to do that. I really do. I mean that. I mean, left to my own devices, I would rather be up in, like, I don't know, up in the mountains just watching it burn from a distance. You know, I got to have internet connection so I can, you know, see it all over. But, I just go sit out somewhere and not really deal with people. Just not deal with people that don't want to hear the truth and just sit back. Watch it burn. But I do this show because I do believe on a certain level I'm kind of spiritually driven to do that. I'm not saying, you know, God hath told me to go out and produce the Parish of the Patriot show. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I keep coming back to doing this time and time again because I do believe there's just a certain spiritual drive for me to do that, to be driven in that direction. These people are no different. They are doing the work of their father, whether they realize it or not. And since they're doing the work of their father, the devil, they have to do it within that framework. You see, they have to, got to make the choice. Got to make the choice. They have to operate. They can't accuse you if he forces you to do it. You know, people say, I've had people say, what happens if they send in people to literally force you to take it? Well, then you're innocent. If somebody physically restrains you and jabs a needle in your arm, you haven't accepted anything. They just poisoned you. That's it. I mean, yes, you're going to wind up probably with whatever side effects come from it, but not the spiritual ones. And that's what matters to Satan, is the spiritual one. The physical ones are just whatever. It's the spiritual side effects. It's the submission. Sure, they can poison you and make you sick. I mean, they also kick in your door and just shoot you in the head, make up a story and say you were an armed terrorist. I mean, really, what's stopping them from doing that? They make shit up nonstop in the media, and whatever the media says, that's what everybody believes. I mean, if they're going to do that, they could just come kill you. There really wouldn't be a point in coming in and holding you down and forcing you to take the shot. And even if they did that, again, whatever side effects come about, but not the spiritual ones, because you resisted. You didn't choose to do that. So Satan cannot accuse you. Look, he got the shot. And it's like, yeah, y'all, you sent your goons in there and stabbed him. Whether you physically overpowered him and shoved it in his arm. Yeah, there's not really any guilt there. As believers, it's important for us to understand the Lord. That's why we go through the Bible and pray and try to understand the world around. You have to understand the Lord, because as you understand the Lord, you read, like, people say, well, the Old Testament's irrelevant, but it isn't, because, again, God works within a certain framework. He does things as a systematic, kind of in a systematic way. He follows a pattern. This is the way God does things. And when you come to understand that, and you better understand the world around you because of that, you also have to understand that Satan, too, works within a certain parameter. He follows patterns. He follows patterns. And when you see the patterns that he follows in the Bible, you can understand the patterns that he's following in the world around us today. Now, as we come full circle back to the original point, that's the original point. I do think, and I'm not trying to necessarily convince you of anything, but you don't need to be going in half-hearted. Now is the time to be deciding in your own heart for yourself if you believe this thing they're pushing, this overall, not just the vaccine, because remember, it says in your forehead, in your hand, what are you doing? What are you submitting to? You know it's a lie. Are you going to submit and go along? It's time to really start working that out. It's time, I think, it's really imperative now that you take the time to start really thinking this through. Is this a red line? No matter what they do, I'm not going to go along with it. Because once you set that in your heart, you got to try to stick with it. Otherwise, again, if you fold later, what was the whole point? You know, you could have just saved yourself the hassle if you're just going to wind up giving up and folding. And they're going to make it very difficult. They're obviously going to do this. It's undeniable, though, that they are going to get more. They're getting more coercive now. Now they're going to start sending people door to door, knock on your door to, quote unquote, educate you about the vaccine. I can't wait to see what these people look like. Are they going to look like social workers, or are they going to look like cops? Because it makes a big difference. Are they going to do the soft sell? Perhaps they have different teams. Maybe different teams. They've already got a personality profile on some of you. And, you know, if you're more susceptible to a soft approach, they're going to send these social workers. They'd be like the Mormons or somebody coming to your door. They're going to send these social worker types and say, oh, we just want to explain to you that this is totally safe. Of course, your response should be, can you show me the long-term studies? They're not going to be able to do that. There are no long-term studies on this. They're going to talk about, no, the science has proven. They're going to talk in vague terms, but they can't tell you the truth because there are no long-term studies. This is the long-term study. And for some of you, they, oh, well, we need a harder approach. And they're going to send people that look, you know, they're going to send these big buff guys or whatever that look like cops, look like authority figures. And they're going to be trying to intimidate you and imply that you're endangering people. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. They talk about this contact tracing. But if they just part of their narrative, they say, well, we did a contact tracing, and see, you were one of the original spreaders of the disease, of the deadly virus. And you see, this fifth person that caught it died in a car, died of the deadly virus. That makes you a murderer. And maybe we'll press charges on you. There's all kinds of areas they can go with. I can guarantee you they're going to start blaming the next flu season on the unvaccinated. I saw a news story the other day. It just boggled my mind, because now it almost makes me wonder if this is just an outright onslaught on your people's psychological stability. I saw a news story the other day about this very topic. And they were talking about, oh, the spike in latest, the Delta variant, latest spike in the cases. And they talked about they canceled a baseball game because these baseball players had tested positive for the deadly Doom virus. And then in that story, they said that, like, over how are all of these baseball players, I don't remember, had all been vaccinated. And then, like, within seconds, they go on and say that they're blaming the spike in cases on the unvaccinated people. They said the people that tested positive had been vaccinated. And then they said the reason there's a spike in cases is because of the unvaccinated. It's a contradiction. Is this just simply nothing more than an attack on people's minds because your brain's trying to work out all these different constant contradictions and they can't be worked out because they're all lies? They're all lies. So they're already blaming the unvaccinated the lead spike in the cases. Is it, as this progresses and they get more coercive about it, is it a stretch of the imagination to imagine that they're going to say, well, we had this death from the deadly virus and we did contact tracing and we found you. You, Mr. Wouldn't Wear a Mask. You, Mrs. Refused to Take the Vaccine. You, we traced it back to you. You were the one that started. And look, you killed somebody and they'll have a really sad story. And look, oh, I miss my grandma so much. If she just hadn't had that car accident. If they hadn't caught the disease and died of the deadly virus, it won't matter that you're pointing out, well, bitch's head was smashed through the windshield in a car wreck. No, no. The media and the government says she died of the deadly virus. They did a test and everything. You killed her. I can imagine a situation where they actually start pressing charges on people. They contact trace it and they think you are the reason. Of course, those who are the reason would just so happen to, of course, be those who oppose this satanic agenda. It'll just all by coincidence work out and it won't even matter. There's all sorts of ways, all sorts of inventive ways that they're going to get coercive about it. It's amazing how few people question. How few people question, why are they pushing this so hard? Even amongst those who are skeptical, because I mean, we're skeptical. Because we've been looking at these things for a long time and understand this, but you've got these normies that are skeptical. And it doesn't seem like among those that they really question, why are they so driven to get you to take this? Why are they so driven to get you to take it? It's all based on a lie. You've got to submit to the lie. This gets down to the spiritual motivation of it. Submit to the lie. If you submit to the lie and you know it's a lie, but you're going to submit to it anyway, you essentially are bowing down. You're taking that action in the right hand, the action you are taking. You've just, yeah, it's a lie. But you have the true believers. It doesn't matter how absurd it is. They believe it. And you see them. You see them and these people, and you wonder, do they have no ability to think at all, to question anything at all? I mean, you have this extreme. You have people that question like literally everything. Like if the package they ordered is delivered to their doorstep and it's on the second step and they're like, it's a message. It's why was the package on the second step and not the third step? Why did they put it there? And they're looking around. They go to this extreme of like questioning like literally everything. You wind up with shit like flat earth. You know? They question things to the extreme. But then you have this other extreme. And they will question anything. They apparently are completely unable to question anything. It must be true. Must be true. Do you know anybody that's actually died? No, but it must be true. They're telling me. Must be true. They've completely just absorbed it. They've just absorbed it. It is a part of their being. Whatever they're told by the media, whatever is presented to them as a part of this satanic agenda, they've soaked it up. They're believers. They've given their heart over to it. Just as you might fervently, serve Christ and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and praise God, they accept the narrative. They accept the lie, no matter how absurd it is. In fact, the more absurd, the better, because it shows their faith. They absorb it. They just relish in it. They've taken it into their being. They've taken it into their forehead. So we wrap up. The point here is, I'm not telling you, this is what I think you need to think it too, but I do think you need to start thinking this through and decide what you're going to do. Maybe make some plans. Might I be able to work around some of this? Maybe I should start figuring some things out, or at least on a spiritual level, setting your heart. If you are going to be determined that this sure matches a lot of the description of what's required to be a mark of the beast as a Christian believer, and they start stealing your hearts. These are trying times. I wish they weren't. I wish we didn't live in these trying times. We don't get a choice in it. This is where we're at. I would much rather, really, I would much rather just we lived in normal, quiet times. You know, I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount of social conflict or whatever. But this is just, we're over the top now. with this. I wish we lived in normal, quiet times. I was just living a normal, quiet life and doing pretty good and going about my day-to-day business and thinking about, you know, how I can make more money and do this and do that and not worried that, you know, I don't know, thinking about the inevitable societal collapse and what that means. And are they pushing how coercive are they going to get in the satanic agenda? This is not fun. We don't get a choice. I think we really need to start reflecting and thinking and working this out so that we're somewhat as prepared as we can be. We can't stop it, but we need to be as prepared as we can be. We're going to wrap up on that note. Once again, thank you to all of you. Aren't shy. Pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated. It's an integral part in this lavish lifestyle. This lavish lifestyle that I live. No, it is very much appreciated. I don't want to make light of it. It is very much appreciated. And again, if you want to be a part of that, you can find the information at the bottom of the description page. We're going to back on out of here now. And don't forget, you can catch me on with Sir Long Shakes on Friday, on the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. If you missed out on that last Friday, all I can say is Rainbow Dildo Butt Monkey. And you're sitting there shaking your head, go, what? What was that? You just have to go check it out. And be sure and come back here next Tuesday to check us out at the Parish of the Patriots.